A new life for you. The gift. Hello, my name is Mark, and like many people I was raised in the church, but at an early age I realized people didn't act like they preached. In fact, they were downright mean, so I left. After such a long road of hardships, I felt like the weariest man in the world. But I decided that I wasn't going to let people get in the way of my relationship to God. Today I am a minister. But you might be surprised to know that I still have a problem with organized religion. That's because Christianity was never meant to be a religion but a relationship. So what does it mean to have a relationship with God? What does that look like? The beginning of the journey to answer this begins with two simple yet thought-provoking questions. Question number one. Have you come to the point in your life where you know for sure that if you were to die tonight you would be in heaven? You may ask, how can anyone know that? The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." May I share with you how I came to know that I have eternal life, and how you can know too. Question number two. Suppose you did die tonight and you stood before God and He asked you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" What would you say? A lot of people say something to the effect of, "I would tell God that I lived life the best I could and would hope my good deeds outweigh the bad ones." You know, that's an interesting answer, but I found out that heaven is a free gift and cannot be earned. Let's take money for instance. If I had enough money I could buy clothes, food, a new car, and if I had a lot of money I could even buy a new house. But even if I had all the money in the world I couldn't buy my way into heaven. There is nothing I could do to earn it. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And again, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." The tragedy is that even though it's free, few accept it. This can be more clearly seen when we understand what the Bible says about man. Man is a sinner and cannot save himself. Let's look at the first part. Man is a sinner. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:3, "Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." And again, in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." What do you think sin is? Most says sin is doing bad things, but it's simpler than that. Let's say we're playing a game of darts. You throw your dart and miss the bullseye by a quarter of an inch. Then I throw my dart and miss the bullseye by a mile. Which one of us missed the bullseye? We both did, didn't we? That's what sin is. It's missing the mark of God's perfection. Now let's look at the second part. Man cannot save himself. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." And again, in Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." A dentist cannot perform a root canal on himself, nor can a surgeon remove his own cancerous tumor. Likewise, we cannot remove the cancer of sin from our lives. Man's case seems hopeless, but let's see what the Bible says about God. God is just and must punish sin, but he is also merciful and doesn't want to punish us. The Bible says in Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Suppose I got so good as to only sin 3 times a day. If I multiplied that per year, that would be 1,095 sins a year, then multiplied by my age, 40, that would be 43,800 sins. Now what do you suppose would happen if I stood in front of a judge with 43,800 traffic violations? We stand before God with more than 43,800. And much worse than traffic violations. Did you know gospel means good news? How does God keep from going crazy? On one hand, he is perfectly just. but on the other hand he is perfectly merciful. How can he be both? Again, let's take the analogy of standing before God's throne with our sins. And being just, he hits his gavel and says guilty, and the punishment for sin is death. Then he stands up, takes off his judge's robe, steps down and says, I will pay that punishment for you. That is exactly what Jesus did on the cross for you and me. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish but for all to come to repentance. And again, in 1 Timothy 2:3 and 4, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God solved this problem by coming to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's answer to our sin problem. But who is Jesus? Some say a good man, a good teacher, a wise man. Sure enough, but he was much, much more. What does the Bible say about him? The Bible says in John 14:9, Jesus speaking, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And again, in John 1:1 and verse 14, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 14, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Why did Jesus come to earth? The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, all of us like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Let's suppose you had a book that contained every sin you ever committed, and this book has been weighing you down and separating you from God. What Jesus did was that he took your book and everyone else's book and placed it on his shoulders at the cross, so you can stand in front of God blameless. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. And again, in 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. If you spelled grace in an acrostic form, God's riches at Christ's expense, he got what we deserve. The Bible says that only those who receive Christ by faith have this free gift. Faith is the key to receiving this free gift. I have a ring of keys here. Only one of the keys unlocks my front door. They all appear to be alike, but really only one will let you into my house. By the same token, there appears to be many ways to get into heaven, but there is really only one. It's called the key of faith. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. People say, I believe in God. But the Bible warns in James 2:19, you believe that God is one, you do well, the demons also believe, and shudder. Faith is trusting Christ alone. It's like the story of the great tightrope walker who stretched a cable across Niagara Falls. A crowd gathered to watch him. He then asked the crowd, do you believe I can cross the falls? The crowd cheered and said, we believe. He successfully crosses the falls, and then he says, the crowd, do you believe I can cross again, but this time with a wheelbarrow? Again the crowd cheered and said, we believe. And again he successfully crosses, and this time he says to the crowd, do you believe I can cross again, but this time with someone in the wheelbarrow? Again the crowd cheered and said, we believe. Then he asked, who wants to be the first to get into the wheelbarrow? Saving faith is like that. It's getting into the wheelbarrow, not standing on the shore saying, I believe. We all have to cross over sooner or later. Do you want to try it yourself or trust someone who knows what they're doing? If you spelled faith in an acrostic form, forsaking all I take him. Faith is obedience. The Bible says in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Faith is repentance. The Bible says in Acts 17:30, therefore having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. It's like when you're heading down the highway and you miss your exit. What do? You take the next exit to turn around so you can head back the right way. That's what repentance is, it's making a U-turn. Faith is confession. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Faith is baptism. Part of following Christ is baptism. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward happening. Jesus says in Matthew 28:19 and 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. The commitment. Does everything in this video make sense to you? Do you want to make a commitment right now and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you willing to repent, confess, and be baptized? If you are willing to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray the following prayer. The prayer of commitment. God, I recognize that I have not lived my life for you up until now. I have been living for myself and that is wrong and I repent. I need you in my life, I want you in my life. I acknowledge the completed work of your Son Jesus Christ in giving his life for me on the cross at Calvary, and I long to receive the forgiveness you have made freely available to me through this sacrifice. I confess Jesus is Lord. Take up residence in my life and be my King, my Lord, and my Savior. From this day forward I will follow you all the days of my life. Those days are in your hands. I ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. If you prayed this prayer, please tell someone or leave a comment. Side note, rituals and words do not save you. Only a truthful and an honest heart that desires God does.
Thank you for listening, and if you liked this, please subscribe and consider liking my Facebook page and joining my group Jesus Answers Prayer.